In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. It's my blessing to be amongst you today, and I know Saturdays, and sometimes people like to be outside. But I'm glad that you're here, and I was glad when I heard from Pastor Mary that you have service prep class, and she said it's all ages, and I'm glad, huh? Is that right? Okay. I'm seeing all of you are doing such a good job. Everybody has his and her own notes. That's a great thing. I hope that you will benefit tonight, because tonight's subject basically is not a lot. It's a little academic. I know that. And also, it's something that we all believe in. We all believe in the Bible. No one in this church, this room, does not believe in the Bible. But what we're going to go through basically is some bullets, some overview. If somebody asks you anything about the Bible, or if they kind of doubt the Bible, how can you think, and what items you can just come in your mind to speak about? This is just a brief. What we're going to say tonight is just a brief, not everything. It's just a few things that you can some of the reasons why we believe the Bible is authentic and the Bible is true and no one changed it or edited the Bible. So it is, the Bible is the Word of God for sure. We know this and we believe this. But I tell you just as a beginning, who does not believe in the Bible? Probably three types of people. Probably three types of people. If you can think of any more, you can let me know. One type of people who are atheists, that do not want to believe in God in general, and do not really need to be under any kind of authority. They just not want to go the way they like, the way they feel, and they want to live their life here and just let it go. Don't be so complicated. So this is one type of people would just say, you know what, the Bible is not the Word of God. And if you search this online, you're going to find, is the Bible the Word of God? Yes, no kind of thing. But those kind of people, one type of people who will not believe in that the Bible is the Word of God. The second type is people who were Christian, but because the Word of God kind of instructed them in something that they wanted to do, and they wanted to stop them, and the Word of God wanted to stop them, they said, you know what? The Bible is not the Word of God. Simple as is. Simple as is. So people who want to go away from the Bible's word, away of what the Bible said, they will say, the Bible is not the Word of God. The third type of people who will not believe that the Word of God is the Bible, or the Bible is not the Word of God, is basically, unfortunate to say, is the Islam religion. Nothing to hide, because as you know, that the Bible did not speak about the Islam religion. And they do say that the Bible had the word Muhammad or Ahmed, and we kind of deleted this. Questions first?
I'm sorry to interrupt you, but there's a verse in the Quran that said, that states that the Bible is the book of God.
Yes, we're going to go through this. It's just a quick overview. Okay? So so let's go with the first thing. We're going to go through probably 10 bullets why we believe that the Bible is the Word of God. It's one mind behind the whole book. Over 40 authors of the people who wrote the Bible. Let me ask you a question first. Do you know how many books we have in the Bible, by the way?
66.
Okay. This is as general Christians. But we as Orthodox, do you know how many? Are they different or the same? 73? 73? Yes? So 66 plus 7. 66 plus 7. And two completion. اللي هم ايه؟ حد عارف؟
Daniel.
And Esther. Bravo. Bravo. Yes, very good. All right. So, over 40 people authors. The Bible writers came from many different variety of people. You find farmers, philosophers, fishermen, poets, scholars, soldiers, priests, prophets, tax collector, tent making, and Gentile doctors. Many types of people. They came from different backgrounds. Still, they wrote in the Bible, and God chose them to write. You find the Bible was written in three different languages. The Old Testament was basically written in the Hebrew and the Aramaic language, and the New Testament was mainly written in the Greek language. You see, variety. With all this variety and more than this, you find that it's one book, not many, one message, one story. It's the Bible. It's the holy book of God. When you read the book, you find like one thread comes from the book of Genesis, goes all the way through to the book of Revelation. However, no, not too many people can find this because they are not really deep in the Bible. But if you really go and read and read and read, you will find this thread. And if you study and if you pay attention and if you go in depth, you will find this thread. And usually they say the golden or the red thread. Why the red thread? You know? Why is it red? They say the red thread. Do you know why? Red. Red is indicates what?
Blood.
It's the blood of Jesus Christ. You find salvation in the book, in the whole book. Second point, the prophecies concerning Christ in the whole book. You find that many prophecies, and I'm very sure part of your curriculum will have to go through the prophecies. And if you just go from the Old and the New Testament, you will find many. In our pre-sermon class, one of the people did this as a homework, and he came up with many, many, many pages. And I'm very sure that you did, or you're going to do something similar to this. Many prophets in the Old Testament, over 1,000. The Old Testament was written over 1,000 years before, in a period of more than 1,000 years. However, you find many things and prophecies about Jesus Christ. About before he even came, from which people, what tribe, how is he going to live? He's going to be born from a virgin. He will offer salvation. He will die on a cross. He will shed his blood. He will enter Jerusalem. Many prophecies. And when you look at this, this was written 700-800 years before Christ. I can't believe this. Why? Because it's the word of God. Prophecies. The story of Jesus Christ is also woven into the Old Testament through types, symbols, ceremonies. The Bible points always to Jesus Christ. And one advice I will tell you, if you read the Old Testament, I would like you always to try to find where Jesus is in the Old Testament. Try to find him. That would be a good homework for you when you read the Old Testament. The biography of patriarchs, the construction of the tabernacle, the temple, the services, the sacrifices, all other things that were written in the Old Testament, you find them pointing somehow from one or more angles towards Jesus Christ. And you would be, somebody was asking, for example, was it, how many, do you know how many sacrifices we have in the Old Testament? Have you studied this? How many? Five? Five? I mean, they were mainly five. Mainly five. But one would say, wasn't it enough to have one or two? Why is it five? Why do you think it's five? Because the sacrifice of Jesus Christ on the cross cannot really be pointed out by one sacrifice. Every sacrifice looks at one angle. And in Jesus Christ, all the sacrifices were fulfilled. Just five were known since Moses in the book of Leviticus, but other sacrifices also. But all these point to Jesus Christ, the Savior. Thirdly, the book, the Holy Book, never outdated. As you probably know, in the past, and sometimes now too, when they come up with a book, after a few years, they say, we're going to come up with a revised edition. Anybody of you here studies psychology? Huh? What is it? What is that Bible that you have in psychology? What is it called? DSM.
DSM, I
do. Right? DSM. Do you know? DSM is like the Bible for psychologists. What number of DSM now?
Four.
Last year was three. Now it's coming up with four. And a few years after, comes up with six. And so on and so forth. Why? Because they start to find more psychology issues. And they, for example, when it comes to addiction, certain kinds of addiction were not in DSM-3. But when DSM-4 coming up, more issues came and said, we're going to have to list these issues as psychiatric issues. What I mean that many scientific books needs to be updated. However, the Bible has never been revised. Although it was written over hundreds of years, the Bible remains the most up-to-date book available today. Which is good about the Bible, it's so relevant to everyone, to every person, in every culture, in every age, even to every age when you grow. The Bible, what's good about it also, a little person will read it and find something, and a very old person who has a lot of experience in life would read and would find, oh my God, this is so deep. I can't find the depth of this. That's what David said. That he found, لكل كمال رأيت متهم أما وصيات فواسعة جدا. When you read Psalm 119, for example, do you know what Psalm 119 is? It's the longest psalm and the longest chapter in the whole Bible. You know how many parts? You find it in the Isaiah. 22. Bravo. 22 parts. And mostly this psalm is talking about the Word of God. But you find how David liked the Bible and the Word of God so much. It's relevant to every age, to every person, to every culture, to every language. This is like one of those items. It's contrary to the human thinking. The Bible is completely unlike any book would a human would write. Because any human who writes anything about him or herself don't want to even come towards themselves. But the Bible condemns all mankind, including the writers themselves, which is really unusual. Everyone would like to find himself or herself in a better position. However, who wrote the Bible couldn't really hide their own mistakes, and God wanted them to show their mistakes. Can you think of anyone?
I'm sorry, can you ask again?
Can you think of anyone who wrote the Bible any book in the Bible, but they had some sins. They wrote about their own sins, yes.
St.
Paul, right? What did he say about himself?
He said he was a sinner like everybody else.
Not a sinner?
A chief
sinner, right. مجدف ومضطهد ومفتري. مجدف يعني blasphemer. مضطهد persecutor. مجدف ومضطهد مفتري دي يعني ايه؟ I don't even know what a مفتري is.
Destroyer.
مفتري. واحد يقول لهم عليه مفتري. You find this in the book, in the epistle of Timothy, the first chapter in epistle, the first epistle of Timothy chapter 1, you find that word. He said about himself three things. But yes, sample anyone else that wrote the Bible and he or she wrote about their sins.
Peter,
right? What did he do?
Well, besides denying,
he denied and he wrote this. He wrote this about it. Anyone else? David, right?
Solomon,
right? You find people who wrote the Bible and they put their own sins. It's upwards, basically. Why? Because the Bible. It's not something that I have to, whatever I think of, I'm going to just show myself as Superman. I had not the problems.
Jonah,
right?
Very good.
Job.
Really, Job. Everyone.
Yes, you find, as you think, you will find. Huh?
No.
Okay. All right. It teaches there is no way they can't be saved except by accepting the gift. Our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He's the only Savior, and some way or the other, you find Jesus, as I said, in every book, even in the Old Testament, in books that were written hundreds and hundreds of years before Christ. The Bible deals, frankly, with the sin of its characters, people making things up, trying to make themselves look good, as I said. But the Bible tells their stories realistically, with all their shortcomings. Why they did this? Because it was not an option. You are writing the word of God. So even if you committed sins, you have to say this. I personally had a person who was, he came from an Islam background, and he wanted to get baptized. And the first question asked him, why you want to be baptized? Why you want to become a Christian? And this is the wonderful thing he told me. He said, every religion talks about God in its certain way. And all is known, except Christianity. I told him why. He said, every religion is obvious. Christianity is not obvious. All religions say God is almighty, is creator, is good, is powerful, is, this is okay. But God came to me to save me and to shed his blood for me and to crucify for me. This is beyond thinking. This is God who I want. This is our book. That's it. Christianity is not obvious, true. So this is what caught him, what attracted him to Christianity, is the Bible. The Bible tells us about not an obvious story. Something new about our God. Something that we love to have our God. Sometimes we need to shape our God in our minds in different ways. But the Bible tells us who God is. Not according to what we think, but according to who God is. God is God and me as a one of his creation. Thirdly or fourthly, I don't know, I lost track. The Bible sets standards, highest moral standards. And this is something that makes us sometimes, some people become a little depressed when they read about the high standards that the Bible sets for us as Christians. It is impossible to achieve certain things that the Bible says without the help of God and the divine help. That's for sure. certain things that the Bible set for us unreachable by our own power. For example, let me give you a couple of examples. But I say to you, love your enemies, bless those who curse you, do good to those who hate you, and pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you. Therefore, you shall be perfect, just as your Father in the heaven is perfect. No religion in any age will say, love your enemy. But the Bible does. It's unachievable with the power of man. That's why the Bible is not obvious. Christ is not obvious. Another example, then Peter came to him and said, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me, and I forgive him? Up to 7 times? Jesus said to him, I do not say to you up to 7 times, but up to 70 times. 70 times 7. 70 times 7 is what? 490. Huh? 490 in a day.
70
times 7 is
40.
490.
I thought you were adding.
You still got it wrong.
How
in a day. It's too much. It is too much. When you set some such examples, what is this? How can you achieve this? Yes, it's unachievable by your own power. But if the Bible says so, and you say, I need to stick to this, and you kneel down and say, God, help me. You said, I need to do this, and I need your help to do this. That's now this is the word of God. You cannot put the word of God inside you and say, it doesn't make any much sense. It's not about sense here. Now it's about God. God is God. He said so, it is so. It's not about how I feel. This is the word of God, and this is different than any other word and any other book. This is the word of God. So such things unreachable, yes, with your own power, but they are reachable by the power of God, the Lord, the Savior, the Creator, the Almighty. Scientifically accurate. And you find a lot of things about it. Possibly in your college or so, you're going to find many things about evolutions and about these sort of type of things. But we're going to just say, yes.
Sure. I just heard on the radio, they said that more than 60% of children that was in the church or loved God wind up, unfortunately, during college years, become either atheists or non-believers. Some do come back, but it's happening very high rate once they go into college that they start becoming anti-Christian.
Very dangerous, I know.
Yes.
I know. You know why? Do you know why? Do you have an idea why this happens?
Because the professors are teaching science.
Yes.
And they say false. They talk about theories as if they're facts, and we don't teach science in the church, so people sometimes think the Bible is just stories.
I agree with you. That's one major point. One. Any other thing?
I think, in my opinion, I don't think they ever had a strong basis to begin with. So they go, they start being peer pressured, and they don't know how to defend their faith. They maybe, like, I'm assuming that maybe they only went to church, weddings, funerals, they weren't, like, active churchgoers.
Not even thinkers. They just received the word, and this is it. You know what I mean? So, but you coming here and think and study and go back and research, and you have the strong foundation, you will find answers. So, because of what they teach in schools and the professors, and also because they are just, I could say they are not strong participants or members, don't have the strong foundation. All I see they come into the group that is called watchers. You know when you go to the movie theater and watch? A lot of people come to church unfortunately in this way. We just watch. And that's not the church. Mutafarrigin. يسموه متفرقين. Watchers. Yes.
Yeah, but with college, like, from what I've been noticing, the professors, like, they really attack Christians a lot, like, in the class. There's a Christian, Muslim, a Jewish person, they'll take the Christian and rip them apart. And they're always arguing against you, and, like, you want to get a good grade, so you don't even, like, stand up for yourself. You just sit down and just, like, you know, you don't want to, like, argue with the professor.
Very unfortunate. Somebody had his... Somebody raised his hand here? You did? Okay. Seems smart.
You know, maybe English class, you were reading the Book of Job and everything, and basically we couldn't use it, like, describe it anyway, because like I said, every way that we look at it in a Christian connotation is completely inaccurate. And you had Hindus going up and supporting it with, like, avatars and, like, reincarnation, Islam, like, Muslims going up and supporting it. And I got up to say something about Christian references. If you're wrong, if you use this in your paper, I'll fail you without even reading it.
Oh, yeah. This is dangerous.
In high school.
In high school?
I'm in high school.
Yes, middle school, my kids had to write a whole big thing about Islam and nothing about Christian.
To make you take a class out of middle school
to
all
write
on Islam. Yeah, and middle school, you make you take a class all on Islam. Girls
That's
from this church came to me and told me, middle school girls, they're like, we have to take a class, you have to write
this
a paper.
Dangerous.
But middle school, they're like, what's it?
This is something.
Starting to do anything to preach
tolerance.
Where's
my brother?
Learn their religion to learn how they're not terrorists. That's how they look at it.
Tell you the truth. Something really needs to be done when a higher level, to be honest with you.
Let's do that.
It's really, I could see, Yanni, what you're saying, I could see that the hands of Satan and the evil one is touching. But on our level, if we can do something, it's good. But if not, just think. The devil does not like what is happening today. Because, you know, even with all these things, many people become Christians. Especially from the Islam background. Many. Many. If you don't think so, I tell you one thing that I heard personally. This is before what is happening in Egypt. About 4 years ago. And it was in the clergy meeting, but I cannot say who was this person. He's a bishop in one area in Egypt. This is 4 years, 4 or 5 years before everything that is happening today. Huh? He said, I personally, with my own hands, in that year, what was he, was this? 2000, probably 8, 7, some. It was in December. I remember that clearly. I don't know which year was that. He said, I baptized 120 Muslim people personally in this year. This is one bishop, and you know that bishop shouldn't be really get involved in this because they are under the microscope. You know, probably you don't know much about Egypt, but I do. So I'm telling you, if one bishop in one diocese, before all this happened, baptized 120 Muslim people, that's a great number. That's big. And how about the other bishops?
China.
Yes. Many.
Many.
Yes.
Many.
Think about an issue. Think about it this way. When the devil sees all this, he's not happy.
Attacks the children.
Yes. Yes. So he will do whatever it takes to attack you as a child of God. And this is part of the cross that you have to carry. Right? But do whatever you can. Defend your faith in the way that you feel it's Christian. Don't lean down and don't be strong about your faith. And always pray, God, what should I do now? What should I say? If you kneel and you pray from your heart, this is his promise. Remember that? You will be given at that time what you will say. Have this faith. Have this faith strongly. God, you said this. I think you find it in all three books, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, that you will be given the word at that time. Do not fear who persecute you. You will be given the word in the exact time. This is a promise from God you need to take and put it in prayer and say, you said so, and I need so. It's your word. and I'm just making this, I'm holding this word and this promise so strong. Thank you for this, but we're going to go through a few things about science here. The scientific fact concerning the shape of the earth. In Isaiah 40, he says, will you not know, will you not hear, has it not been told to you of old? Have you not known the foundations of the earth? It is he that comprehended the circle of the earth, and the inhabitants in it are as grasshopper. He that sets up the heaven as a chamber, and stretched out as a tent to dwell in. The circle of the earth. You know, when did they find about the earth's circle? This is Isaiah. This is more than 700 years before Christ. Circle of the earth. The scientific fact concerning the revolution of the earth around itself. In Job, he stretches out the north wind upon north nothing, and he hangs the earth about nothing. Who thought about this? I think the first one who had the spaceship when he went out. Huh? I don't remember the name. But he said, the most fascinating thing that I found when I was going out to the earth, I found it hanging on nothing. He was so fascinated. And who said this? Job is one of the oldest books in the whole Bible. This is in the period of Genesis, Job. It's one of the oldest book in the whole book. But he says, the earth upon nothing, hangs the earth upon nothing. Oh, here you go. Job was about 2,000 years before Christ. Amazing. The scientific fact concerning genetics, you find this in Genesis. That then God said, let the earth bring forth grass and the herb that yields seeds, and the fruit tree that yields fruit after its kind, whose seed is in itself on the earth, and it is so. And it says, and the earth brought forth grass, the herb that yields seeds after its kind. After its kind. After its kind. What does this mean? When I read this, when I was a little child, I said, why the book is just keep mentioning this? You see why? It's genetics. So that, you know, whoever study, for example, about genetics, you'll find what does this mean. Because I'm not going to get into this because I'm not so professional at it. But when you study about types of dogs, for example, types of lions, tigers, a tiger, a child of a tiger is a tiger. You know what I mean? That's what it says here. Huh? After its kind, Mingin Sihi, after its kind. It's the same. What is it called?
Species.
Species, yes, it's the same species, right. It's genetics. Scientific fact that the moon has no light itself. In Job also, behold, even the moon, and it shines not. It shines not. When did they find out about this? Years and years later, they found that the moon is just, moon's light is just a reflection of the light of the sun. Scientific discovery of the science neutrality. Do you see that? The Lord questioned Job and said to him, who has divided a channel for the overflowing water, or the pass, or a pass for the thunderbolt to cause it to rain on a land where there is no one, a wilderness in which there is no man, to satisfy the desolate waste and cause to spring forth the growth of tender grass? Job 38:25. There are many. I think, what time should we finish? 15 minutes? Okay, quickly. Scientific fact about, you can just read this in two peer theory, just if you can put this down, and what it says here, that what the day of the Lord will come and receive in the night, which the heavens will pass away the great noise, and the elements will melt for fervent heat, both the earth and the... So it says here about the elements. Whoever studied this in science will know a little bit about this. Linguistics have determined that the Earth's people must have originally shared a common language. And this is what happened really in Genesis 11. You know about, what is it called?
Tower of Babel.
Tower of Babel, right? They all shared one language, and then the languages were split or divided. One language was divided to many, many languages. Jonah wrote that there are mountains on the bottom of the ocean, Jonah 2. Only in the last century they have discovered that there are towering mountains and deep troughs in the sea. Okay. So that was scientifically accurate. Second point is historical. One thing that this is very important is the manuscripts. Manuscripts. Oh, you need manuscripts is very important, and there are many of them. I just listed three of them. Sinai manuscripts. They were found by a scholar in St. Catherine's Convent at the bottom of Mount Sinai in Egypt, and it goes back to the 4th century and is kept in the British Museum in London, England, and this has most of the Bible. I'm just going to go. The Qumran scrolls, this is one of the very important ones. They were found not very long ago, but they made a big difference because that one was very important. They found most of the Bible in this one, and it goes back to the first and the second centuries. They found a complete book of Isaiah, and they found most of the Bible, but exactly the same. And you can read more about it here in this website. And this is a Jewish website, I think, I don't know. But it's very, very nice if you look at it and you find how that was a big discovery. The Dead Sea Scrolls, or it's called Qumran Scrolls, they were found in Jordan.
This is different than the ones they found recently.
The ones
in the cave.
I think this is the one.
That's the one.
Yes, Qumran, yes. Yes, in 1947, I think. Yeah. Yes.
What were the Sinai scrolls?
Which one?
The ones before these.
Yes.
The Sinai.
Those Sinai were found, and they go back to the 4th century. And in England. What was the question?
What do they contain?
I think they contained most of the Bible. I'm not 100% sure, but I think it was most of the Bible also. But what made this even... Because the Qumran scrolls were more books, because you're talking about papyrus, you're talking about leather, and those, they were treated scientifically very, yani, when you go to that website, you find good things about it. Okay. So some of them are not... not very complete because of the ages, yeah.
The shepherds, they burned some of them.
Yes.
For warmth. So
yes.
They lost some.
Yes.
But they were exactly the same, right?
Yes. Especially the book of Isaiah, because this book is so important for us. Because the book of Isaiah is called the fifth Bible. You know, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John? This in the Old Testament, the New Testament. But Isaiah in the Old Testament but we call it somehow it's the fifth Bible because it talks clearly about Christ. And this is the book where the Jews still don't like to speak about Christ, you know what I mean? Unfortunately, but it's very clear there. Alexandrian manuscripts dated for 400 AD contains again the entire Bible and is kept in the British Museum. These are just few of many, but these are the most important ones. The Quran.
Yes.
Do these manuscripts, I suppose, have the New Testament too? Yes. Some of what the Quran wrote about the Bible. But why did they come to thee for decision when they have the Torah before them? I will help them with Arabic. It's called the Surah.
Yeah.
This is Surah. It's like the book of Surah. And it says, why do they come to thee for decision and they have the Torah before them? So here the Quran really witnessed to who? To the Bible, to the Torah. To the Torah, to the Old Testament. You know what I mean? So here the Quran is testifying for the Bible. And in their footsteps, we sent Jesus, the son of Mary, confirming the law that has come before him. We sent him the gospel. Therein was guidance and light. Again, in the book of Surah. So he's talking now about Jesus, and he's talking about the gospel that it was sent to Jesus as a guidance. Again, O you who believe in God and His apostle, and the scripture which He has sent to His apostle, and the scripture which He sent before him, and who denies God, His angels, His books, His what? Books. What is the books before the Quran? We can just say the Old Testament. This is a book, but now he's saying the books. What's the books refer to?
All the stories in the Bible?
It's the Old Testament and the New Testament. Books in plural. Huh?
Okay.
It's talking about books, not book. Apostles and the Day of Judgment and has gone far astray. Now it's talking about the books. Yes.
Do you mind going back?
Sure.
Thank you.
No.
Thank you.
You can find a lot about this, Yanni. I'm leaving this to the presentation.
Excellent.
Come on, if you like. But it's not complete, I guess. I mean, there is a lot need to be done to it.
Yeah,
this is one of the topics that you can't. It's so much. Yes.
No, I just wanted to say that the winner's presentation is going to be on the website, so you'll have access to it.
He will send down to thee in truth the book again, confirming what before it. Oops. Before it means what? Who's before it? Who's before Islam?
Jesus
and the Old Testament. So before it, that refers to us. And he sent down the law, the Torah, and the gospel. Torah, Old Testament, gospel, New Testament, before this, as a guide to mankind. Clear that the Quran is testifying for both the Old Testament and the New Testament.
But when the Muslims read this, they don't get it.
No.
The New Testament was changed.
That's what we're going to talk about in two more slides. We have without a doubt sent down the message and will assuredly guard it. This is important too, because who's saying that he's going to guard his word? We have sent. We have without a doubt sent down, who's this? Who sent down?
God.
The message, and will assuredly guard it. So if God sent according to the Quran, sent the Torah and the Gospel, that means He will guard it. It's just simple. So if I believe that the Torah and the Gospel is the Word of God according to this, that means God has had what? To guard it. Isn't it? That's part of what their belief. If thou were in doubt as to what we have revealed unto thee. Then ask those who have been reading the book before thee. Who had the book before them? We had the book before them. Because Islam came in the 6th century, right? إِذَا كُنْتِ فِي شَكٍّ مِمَّا أَنْزَلْنَا إِلَيْكَ فَاسْأَلْ أَهْلِ الذِّكْرِ أَوْ أَهْلِ الْكِتَابَ الَّذِينَ قَبْلَكَ. هم we are the people who were before them, before Islam. So it's very... So if they have a doubt of something, they should come and ask us. That's what it says here. That's according to the book. That's according to the Bible. Question. I think now the question that you... Let's ask anyone who asks this as far as a Muslim person. First question, who changed the Bible? Is it Jews or Christians? Question. If they ask, if they say the Jews, that would be a problem. Because if you know how the Jews were so accurate, and if you have time, just go and see how the Jews were so accurate about writing. You know, they had no computers and no typewriters, nothing. It was what? Handwriting with the Risha. What is it?
Feather pen.
And even before this, it was on the leather. And even before this, it was on rocks. If you know how much they paid attention while they were copying, it's amazing. You would be say, no way. I'll tell you a story. For example, a person who's copying, you know, they had to copy because they wanted more copies to give away. They were counting in one line. How many words? How many letters? How many commas, if there are commas? How many the word God in a section? If they mistyped one letter, they have to redo the whole passage. And it scrolls. If you go to that website, you're going to see how big the scroll is. If they mistype the word God or Lord, they have to tear down the whole thing, put it in the garbage. And the way they used to copy is that before they start the copying, they have to take a shower. Before the word God comes, he has to take another shower. The pen to write the word God is different than any other pen. The ink, the place, the seating. The Jews are so strict when it comes to the word of God. And so on and so many. I could just, it's so many things. No one can say the Jews could really change any word of the Torah. None. Because he's so strict. And one other thing, if somebody says the Jews, well, if the Jews wanted to change the Bible, the simplest thing to change is what? Isaiah. It's just Isaiah. Or just to modify or to erase or to omit the sins of their great people. Right? They believe in Moses. But Moses did some mistakes. David, he made some mistakes. Isaiah spoke about Christ. Why didn't they take it away? They couldn't. They're so strict about the Bible. Another question. When did the Jews or Christians change the Old or the New Testament? Is it before time of Islam or after? We have now one or two questions. If they say before Islam, now we have a problem with all the testimonies that the Quran just said. You saw some testimonies, right? Yes. He said a lot about. So if the Quran really testified for the Bible, they can't say it's before Islam, right? Common sense, right? Because if it was changed, the Quran will not come and say, this is the word of God. So it cannot be before the Islam. Let's say after the Islam. If they say it was tampered or changed after the death of Muhammad, then we have to face the fact that Christianity at that time, the 6th century, has reached into Asia, Europe, and Africa, and it's impossible at that time to change all the copies in all over the world at that time. Does this make sense?
Yes.
Of course it makes sense. No one could think this way. So if a Muslim people tell you that it was changed, when it was changed? Simple question, and you just put him on the spot on this. Very simple. Did this answer your question, whoever asked this question?
Yes, I think.
Okay,
so.
Does it answer your question? Clear, I think, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Early fathers' quotations. This is going, especially on the New Testament. One of the scholars tried to think, what if all the Bibles in the entire world were burned? The Bibles, all the copies in the first 2-3 centuries, what would happen? And he started to go all to the early fathers. He found all the Bibles, the New Testament, were quoted in the writings of the early fathers. All the New Testament, except for 11 verses. Can you imagine this? You know some of the early fathers, for example? Like who? San Basil?
San
Cyril?
Athanasius? Gregory?
Exactly. All these fathers quoted. Khalas? Khalasna? Is it time to finish?
No.
So they found that they quoted all the New Testament with the exception of 11 verses. What does this tell you? Even if all the Bibles were burnt or modified, you can find all the verses in the early fathers' quotations.
I don't understand the last point.
This one?
Yeah.
Okay. You know, for example, if you read anything about Saint Athanasius, for example, because you know, Athanasius wrote a lot about incarnation and Christ and defended the faith. So he quoted verses from the Bible. So that there was one scholar, he said, let me go back and find all the quotations of the early fathers from the New Testament. So he found all the verses in the New Testament in the early father writings except for 11 verses. So if all the New Testaments were burned or modified, you would get the New Testament from the early fathers' quotations. Make sense? Good. Okay. One last point here. Let's think about one last thing. How the Bible influenced great people. And this is just the end. Let's say some of this talking. Napoleon Bonaparte. The Bible is no mere book, but a living creature with a power that conquered all the opposing. A great person like Napoleon said about the Bible, that means something. The Bible is the cornerstone of liberty. Thomas Jefferson. I believe that the Bible is the best gift God has ever given to a man. All the good from the Savior of the world has communicated to us through this book. And he pointed to the Bible. That was Abraham Lincoln. Great people to talk about, those are great people, and you know these things. Queen Victoria, when she was asked what is the secret of the greatness of Great Britain, she pointed with her finger to the Bible and said, this is the secret of the greatness of Great Britain. It's the Bible. The Bible is the crown of all books, and the Sermon on the Mount is the jewel in the crown. This is Mahatma Gandhi, Africa. It's impossible for the world to enjoy a rule of justice and stability without depending on God and His Bible. George Washington. The Bible and the Bible, a Bible reading is an education itself. Sin will keep you from this book, the Bible, or this book will keep you from sin. One of the authors. Many people love the Bible. And I just wanted to end up with some verses about how God was really strict and concerned about His book and His word. In the book of Deuteronomy, you shall not add to the word which I command you, and you shall not take from it. Keep the commandments of the Lord our God, all that I command you this day. You cannot add, and you cannot change, and you cannot remove. Every word that I command you this day, you shall observe to it, to do. You shall not add to it, nor diminish from it. I testify to everyone, this is the book of the Revelation. This is almost the last verses in the entire the book in your hand. Chapter 22, the last page in your book. I testify to everyone, hearing the words of the prophecy of this book, if anyone adds to them, may God add to him the plagues having been written in this book. And if anyone takes away from the words of the book, of this prophecy, may God take away his part from the tree of life, and from the holy city, and from all the things having been written in this book. God is so strong about His words. He cannot let His word change. As I said, it's one message. The purpose of the Bible is to reveal God and to show us who God is. God as Himself, not God that I want. No, God is God, as I said, and me as one of His creation. If you need to really find God or know God, you have to read the Bible. You have to see the Bible. And I tell you, a lot of people come from other religions. One of the things they say, we heard too much things about the Bible, bad things. But when we really read it, we found how sweet, how powerful, how great, how deep the Bible is. So is the Bible the word of God? Of course it is, Taba. Of course the Bible is the word of God. And as I said, this is just a very starting point. You may go and dig more and more, and you'll find many, many things about how authentic the Bible is. Any questions?
So it says that no one should take away part of the Bible. So why is it that the Protestant Bible has fewer books and RJ condemned other books? Or is it like...
See, this is, I think it's a whole subject. It's a whole